Our reading this morning is from the book of Joshua. It's the entire chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Sittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Lord your God, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in full flood all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarathon. While the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabath, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry land. And may the Lord bless this reading to our hearts.
Last time we looked at crossing the Red Sea, we know that story of the Israelites who were enslaved in Egypt for a long time, and God graciously brought them out of Egypt. And the last time we thought about how God showed that great power of his, those plagues, those great and terrible plagues, culminating in that crossing of the Red Sea. When there seemed to be no way, God created a way. They were there. The Egyptians changed their mind. They came after them. They were kind of trapped. How would they get out? But God opened up a way. Unfortunately, the Israelites really lived in a state of unbelief so often. And that's what we're thinking about today, about believing. These people saw so many miracles and yet still remained in unbelief. How could you see all those things, those plagues and the sea opening up, and yet still live in an attitude of unbelief? Unbelief says, "Let's go back," which is what the Israelites did often. "Oh, I wish we were in Egypt." They moaned and groaned. Unbelief says, "Let's go back," but faith says, "Let's move forward and see what God is going to do. Let's go forward and see what God will do." 40 years earlier, do you remember, they sent in the spies to the land, 12 of them representing the 12 tribes, and they went into the land. They saw it was a beautiful land. When they came back, they gave the report. 10 of them were scared stiff. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "We can do this. We can take this land." But the others were frightened. And they had good cause to be frightened. Numbers 13. "The numbers, the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, a very tall man. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. The task seemed daunting. And it was. But any time God wants to do something in the lives of his people, there will always be obstacles. Life will always seem daunting. There will always be giants in the land, wherever he is leading us to. But does that put us off? Anytime God has a plan for you, it'll be the same. For you and me, there will always be obstacles. Things never go easy. And yet, Numbers 14, don't fear the people. The Lord is with you. And yet the Israelites refused to believe. And these unbelieving people failed to enter into the promised land. And they died in the wilderness. Such promise. Such potential. And it should have been so different. Deuteronomy 6. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. Did you hear that little line? He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised. He brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out to bring us in. The Israelites were brought out of slavery, but they failed to enter in to the land of promise. Too many people were brought out and failed to enter in. Too many people got stuck in the wilderness. It's a bit like that as well, isn't it? Do you know, you can believe in Jesus and never become a disciple. You can believe in Jesus, you can be brought out, but never enter in. You can believe in Jesus, but never be a disciple of Jesus. A preacher, a commentator called Warren Wiersbe, when commenting on the crossing of the Red Sea, he said that it represented the believer being delivered from the bondage of sin. But the crossing of the Jordan that we're thinking about today represents the believer claiming the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Crossing the Red Sea represents being delivered from sin, but entering the land represents taking all our inheritance, all our blessing that comes in Jesus. We're brought out to enter in. Here's the first question. Have you crossed the Red Sea? The first part of the journey. Have you entered the land of, left the land of slavery? Slavery to sin. Have you crossed the Red Sea? The 13th Amendment in the American Constitution, I'm sure you know it really well, abolished slavery. It was passed by the Senate in 1864 and passed in the House in 1865. People who were slaves were free to go. They could leave their plantation and leave. But you know, many slaves didn't leave. Because as one preacher put it, freedom has a price tag. And these slaves who refused to leave preferred to stay where they were because they knew it. They had a home. They knew where their food was coming from, where their clothing was coming from. So although they were offered freedom, they would not take it. For the Israelites who left, they were offered freedom. And yet, although they left the country in their hearts, they were still slaves. Because freedom requires courage, and courage is taking a risk. Freedom has a price tag. But in our story today, we find the next generation. That generation died in the wilderness, but the next generation got to go to the promised land, and to get there, they got to cross the River Jordan. And it's a huge challenge. What are they going to do? Verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. The Jordan is at flood during harvest. If there was a time to cross the Jordan, this was not it. This was the worst time to go. The snows in Mount Hermon had melted and the water had come to the Jordan Valley. The river was just swollen. Commentators said it was more than a mile, maybe 2 miles wide. And that was not the norm. How were they going to cross this body of water? This was not the time to do it. And yet, this is what was going to happen. For 3 days, the Israelites camped by the River Jordan. Looked at the width of it, how fast flowing it would be. 3 days to ponder the impossible nature of the task. 3 days to ponder the impossible nature of the task. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel your life's like that? There's an issue in your life or issues, and they're a burden, and they're draining, and they're heavy, and you pray that God will take it away or do something about it, and nothing seems to happen. In fact, the burden seems to get worse and worse. It's like you're camped beside it day after day after day. Why is that? Why did God keep them for several days beside the Jordan? Well, could it be that God was giving the Israelites those 3 days to realize that this was an impossible task? Wasn't he giving them time to reflect on the impossibility of this journey? So that when a way became open, as it would do, that they would know, without a shadow of a doubt, that this was God at work. Giving them time to ponder, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And then the time came, verse 2, after 3 days the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, it's about 1,000 yards, between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. They were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. This was his throne on earth. And he would move out. God would go before them. And they were to follow. Because if they followed him, they would not get lost. They would not go wrong. But they had to follow. When he moves, you move. But I love verse 4. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Then you will know which way to go. Because you've never been this way before. Don and I were up at New Horizon last week, which is amazing. We brought some of the magazines from there. If you'd like to see what happens and who speaks, and they're at the back. Don's waving one at me. Now, we've got loads of them, so take one and have a look, because it would be great if you went next year. It's an amazing event. Lasts for a week. Some great speakers. But one of the speakers during the morning Bible studies was a guy called Gilbert Lennox. I frequently talk about John Lennox, Professor John Lennox. This is his brother, who was a pastor up north, but he was preaching, and he was brilliant. But he talked about his age. I'm 66 years old, he says. But you know, I've never been a 66-year-old Christian before. This is exciting. Because I'm 66 and I've never been this way before. Our son Thomas and his wife Lorna are going to have a baby in November. Yeah, and they've never been parents before. They have never gone this way before. I've got a good friend who's a Presbyterian minister called Adrian Adger. He's got incurable cancer. He has never traveled this way before. Our world is turned upside down. The challenge to us, the challenge to the church. What do we do? For we have never seen this before. We have never gone this way before. But what do? You follow the Ark. You follow Jesus. Hebrews. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith. Because when we do, we'll know the way to go, because we have never been this way before. So we don't want to look around freaked out by it all or say we wish we were back in the good old days. No, we fix our eyes on Jesus and we follow where he leads. Because if we do, we won't get lost. Verse 13, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, the water stopped. Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Crossing the Jordan required a step of faith. And as soon as those priests put their foot in the water stopped flowing. Piled up in a place called a dam, a long way up. Just piled up. Can you imagine if you're a local farmer or a courting couple walking along by the Jordan and suddenly the water starts piling up? It's kind of freaky, isn't it? But that's what happened. Took that step of faith. Freedom has a price tag. And the price is courage. Taking a step of faith. The people who had sat for 3 days thinking, how will we ever get across there? Crossed over on dry ground. Isn't that amazing? We have got a God who can do the impossible. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Don't despair. Don't be unbelieving. But ponder anew and follow. So the question for all of us is, have we left the land of slavery and entered into the promised land? Do we live with our eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing him, loving him, longing for his spirit to change us? Or are we wandering in the desert, really living as unbelievers? Many people are familiar with the first part of that story about coming from the land of slavery, being saved from our sin. But God doesn't save us from something to leave us there. He brings us out to bring us in. Brings us out of darkness to take us into his light, out of death into life, out of poverty into his prosperity and his blessings. And that is what he wants for all of us. Freedom requires courage to trust him. The Bible is full of promises for you who have left Egypt, who have crossed the Red Sea. Full of promises. He wants us to trust him, to take a step of faith and of courage, and see the God who is the God of the impossible do the impossible things. Our faith is a supernatural faith, but freedom has a price tag.